Friends, as was announced, the subject of our lecture today is hidden powers in man. Straight away, there is an affirmation that there are powers present in man, though they are not visible, they are hidden, they are present in man. And the scope of lecture also was made sufficiently clear in the preliminary remarks. Now, many of us have been very fortunate to have been born in tradition, in culture, which is rich in mythology, great epics, fairy tales, and whatnot, in which heroes and heroines are known to perform astonishing feats, exhibit astonishing powers, which appear to us almost like miracles. We can recall that in Ramayana, what happened when Lakshman fainted in the war, but he needed one medicinal herb, and Hanuman was interested in his task. Hanuman flew over to Himalayan regions because it was in one of the mountains in that region, this herb grew. So he flew over from Lanka to Himalayas. He couldn't locate the particular herb, so what he did? He lifted the whole of the mountain in one single hand, flew back to Lanka's, and then of course that particular herb was identified and Lakshman just revived. What happens in Bible? You come across an exodus in the chapter of Exodus. We are told that Moses was leading his people out of Egypt. Then he came across sea, and as God had told him, he lifted his hand and the sea parted, and the people and Moses, they just crossed over. And of course the sea again became one so that the Egyptians could not be overtaken. In Bible, so many incidences are quoted in which Jesus performs miracle after miracle. He makes blind see, lame walk, deaf is able to see by his miracles, and also he raises apparently dead people. Epaminondas of Tyana was seen at two places at the same time, a feat which is not achieved by any known living human being. And Swedenborg, the clairvoyant, he saw great fire raging in Stockholm when he was many miles away from Stockholm. He was at Gothenburg. He saw this fire raging at Swedenborg. Now, these instances I just quoted to give an idea that the tradition, the history is full of such miraculous happenings, people exhibiting powers. Then question arises in our mind that are these just mere figment of imagination? Are they just hallucination? Or is there a truth in these occurrences? Simple people, if you ask them, they will say that yes, for some people, they are spiritually advanced people. For them, these powers are possible. They can do anything that they want. They can contravene any law they want. That is their belief. Roman Catholics, including clergy, as well as people who have strong belief in such things, they believe that yes, Jesus, his disciples, as well as their great saints, have performed miracles with the agency of God, through the agency of God. But unfortunately, when similar miracles are performed by ordinary people, they say that it is a work of Satan. We need to really think through this sounds illogical. So these powers, which are shown to be there in religious traditions and mythologies, what science has to say on this? Science simply rejects this. It says that it is nothing but hallucination, mass hallucination. It is nothing but juggling, sleight of hand, trick, and whatnot. Science simply rejects this. Now, this is a kind of a bigotry kind of an attitude of science. not wanting to even look at something which is called as miraculous or powers exhibited in our mind. But by doing this, science has actually retarded its progress considerably. Particularly the psychological aspect of science has been retarded by such an attitude on part of science. And this was one major reason why theosophy came on scene to give the correct explanation, correct understanding of these powers to mankind. In 1875, when actually started the movement, what was the scene? There were a great number of people who were, they got superstitious. There were others who were materialists, who rejected such anything to do with spiritual things. And unfortunately, at that time, spiritualism had suddenly come in the forefront. Spiritualism, as you know, is a phenomenon, you can say, by which people are promised to put in contact with their dear departed through the agency of sensitive people called mediums by conducting seance. And people were flocking seance room at that time. And lot of movements like Christian Science, metaphysical healing, mind healing, mind cures, they were surfacing one after the other at that time. This was nothing but really exercise of the powers which are present in man, but without any understanding as to how this changes of the healing takes place. People were just using this without correct understanding. So there were great dangers to which people were getting exposed to through spiritualism, through misuse of these powers called Christian Science and metaphysical healing and whatnot. This was one more reason why theosophy had to enter the scene. It was desperately needed to give our correct understanding of what is right, what is wrong, what are powers, and so on. So theosophical movement was started with three great objects. As you know, the first was to form a nucleus of universal brotherhood without distinction of race, creed, caste, color, etc. Second was to study ancient and modern religions, sciences, philosophies, and demonstrate the importance of such study. And the third was to investigate unexplained laws of nature and psychic powers latent in man. And to support this, there are fundamental teachings of philosophy. And the first teaching, the first fundamental, strikes a female. It says that this world and people are not created by some God. All this world, all these beings have come from one source, which you can call it God, one reality, absolute principle, which is not one anthropomorphic God. It is one reality, one principle, from which everything has come, into which everything will return, and in manifestation, there is this evolutionary journey through which one is striving to attain self-realization. And because we have come from that one absolute, we are, therefore, human beings are identical in spiritual as well as material essence with the manifested nature. You can call whatever the forces which are there, they are there in nature, they are also present in us. Everything has same essence dwelling within their hearts. And Isis Anduin tells us that what we see in nature, what we see, mountains, oceans, trees, etc., is just one aspect of the visible physical nature. But behind it, there is invisible nature, energizing nature, indwelling astral nature which is there, which is all the time changing. It acts as a model for the outer nature, outer manifested world. And above these two is that aspect which we call a spirit, which alone is unchanging, immortal, indestructible, which is the spiritual aspect. And we say man is like nature, identical with nature. So man has his physical body, But it's a small aspect of real man. Real man is the inner, hidden, invisible man, the astral man, the invisible man, which is the energizing real man. But apart from these two is the spirit, the Atman, from which comes all the forces, powers, which are available to man. And it is by becoming united with that spirit, that self, the Atman, that man can attain immortality. So this is the background with which we can study this great subject. Now, we therefore realize that there is a visible aspect and there is an invisible aspect to both nature and man. But what does science do? Science does not believe in anything that is invisible, which cannot be really, you know, put to test in the laboratory by experimenting, by analysis, by, you know, restorationism and reasoning. They reject the invisible realm. They reject this astral realm altogether. And with the result, what happens? Today you find that when you talk about these powers, etc., people say it's a miracle. What is the definition of miracle? Miracle is something which is supernatural. Miracle is something which is beyond the laws of nature. That is the definition. But science, which has given us so many laws in various departments, when it is negating the invisible world altogether, can we say that science has already given to us all the laws? Certainly not. There are so many other departments which science has not studied, and so those laws are not even known to science. And obviously, therefore, it will be incorrect to say miracle is something which is beyond laws of nature. We realize that this invisible aspect of man and nature needs to be studied by science. This is something which is the reason why Theosophy was given out. Theosophy wants science to widen its scope, go beyond the physical realm and start investigating this inner invisible astral realm. Now, what is this astral realm? We just mentioned that that is this invisible realm which is a model on which the physical is based. And we can think of this astral realm, which is called astral light, as something as maybe a great canvas, a great camera, in which is recorded all the time all the thoughts, feelings, actions of all the human beings. They are all the time getting recorded, like pictures getting snapped by a camera incessantly in its minutest possible detail. And this record remains. And if someone knows how to look into this record, they will know what had happened 1,000 years back, 1 million years back, what is likely to happen also perhaps in the future if the causes are well marked. Because man is not just his physical body. He is not limited by the senses which we see. You can't see through the wall. You can't hear things happening in your ear. Not possible with the physical man. But what happens if you realize that behind the physical man there is the astral, invisible body, in which are present astral organs, astral senses, then you will begin to realize that this clairaudience, clairvoyance becomes possible for man, provided he is able to awaken his senses. These astral senses are the real senses which are present in man. So there is an astral eye, there is an astral ear, but at the moment it's the physical eye, physical ear, through which these astral senses have to function. They become the coordinators for the inner organ and the outer world. But in some people who have developed these senses, it is possible for them to be right here in India and see things happening in New York, hear things being discussed maybe in London. These things become possible. because this astral senses are present in man. Now, having seen this, we realize that there is this upper door science which needs to be thought through. How do we talk about this astral body, astral science, etc.? I mean, astral realm, astral life, etc. How are we talking about all this? Because this upper science has been already studied, preserved in the custody of the sages and seers down the ages. These are the real scientists who do not require laboratory experiments to investigate the laws of nature. They have perfected themselves in their physical, mental, psychic, spiritual, all departments of nature to the utmost possible degree. And therefore they are able to just look into things whichever they want to know. And they are able to see these things as vision. And yet we are told that these traditions, they are not accepted as, if adept saw something, it is not taken as true unless it was corroborated by independent visions of many of the adepts. They had taken this knowledge together and they have preserved this knowledge in their custody, which they call as wisdom religion. And this wisdom religion tells us that there is no such thing as a miracle. Everything that happens in this universe happens because there is a law working behind it. There may be a law which was known to ancient, which the modern science doesn't know about it. But if a man knows this law, he can use this law and perform things which would appear to us as miraculous. Because these laws, they may modify the behavior, the activity of the laws known to us. And we have given the example. Gravitation, we are told, is the law by which if you throw anything in the air, it's bound to fall down. We are told that it is only half the law. It is the law of attraction. The other half of the law is the law of repulsion. Now, we can imagine this whole Earth as a great magnet which is maybe electrically charged by one sort of charge, maybe positively charged. And all the objects, beings are charged of opposite nature, negatively charged. Then obviously opposite must attract one another, and so the force of attraction is that law of gravitation. But if a man knows how to, then he can change the polarity of his body with respect to the earth below him and rise up in air unsupported. He can become positively charged, and then positive positives will repel one another and he will rise up in air unsupported. This is levitation. It's not a miracle. It's the use of this changing law of polarity. This people, the fakirs, the yogis in India, they do it. They are able to rise up in air, remain there for as long period they want, at whatever distance they want to remain, by doing certain breathing exercises. Sometimes it also happens in certain extreme nervous diseases. Patients having epileptic fits, they are known to rise up in bed unsupported, because disease tends to change sometimes the polarity of the body. So this, if you understand, then you will not be really astonished by these levitational feats which are shown by some people. And then there is also power of mind. What is the power of mind that we are talking about? It is now accepted even by medical science. Power of hypnotism. We know that it is possible to put a man in certain condition which is called as hypnotic condition. Method used may be for certain passes or using a pendulum or gazing at a crystal or various methods can be used. But when a person falls in that hypnotic condition, he becomes open to suggestion coming from the hypnotizer. And then whatever hypnotizer tells him, this man is going to obey him. He is going to follow the command given by the hypnotizer. So, if the hypnotizer tells him that it is winter, it is very cold, and it is snowing outside, this man will start shivering. Right in the middle of a hot summer day, he will start shivering. The others are perspiring there. He will start shivering. This is the impact of the suggestion given by the hypnotizer to this man. And hypnotism is used by medical science for curing maybe the addiction of smoking or drinking, very good. But there is a danger, because if a hypnotizer can put a suggestion that you quit smoking, you quit drinking, God forbid, if the hypnotizer is not pure enough, he has some malicious intention, he can even suggest something which is wrong to this person, and this person is going to obey that. And to take an extreme example, this man may suggest to this subject that commit murder on such and such day in this manner. This man, once he comes out of his bed, he will carry that suggestion, he will execute this suggestion, and he will go ahead and commit murder. Now this is where the great danger is, that this great power can be misused if the person is not having absolutely pure motive. So we need to be aware before rushing into this sort of, you know, alternative therapies and suggestions, etc. Best to try to really cure your diseases by regular means, by, you know, regular medicines which are there, and try to work on your own mind in a waking, fully waking consciousness. Because your free will is getting interfered when you allow another to take control of your mind. And also, there are powers of mind like imagination, then there is glamour. These are not imaginary things, they are very real. We are told that in East, we, particularly in the villages you go, there is a snake charmer who will come, and sometimes even without having any snake in his with him, he will make a snake appear and disappear in front of a big crowd. He will also perform many things. Maybe he will throw up a rope in the air, and that rope as it were will disappear, seem to be hanging in the air. And then he will ask a little boy to climb up the rope, and this boy will climb the rope and he will disappear. Now, actually speaking, we are told that he is making you see snake, or maybe even an elephant or a quark or a tree, which is actually just not there. It is actually not making any rope thrown up in the air or any boy climbing the rope. He is making you see these things by power of imagination. How do we do that? And one monk confessed that right from the early age, he was trained to see a snake in front of his eyes day after day in various forms, in various shapes, in various manners. And so strong was that image by the time he grew up, that whenever he imagined a snake in front of his eye, everybody else had to see it. Now that is the power of imagination. But it doesn't stop here. It didn't reveal the whole truth. There is the other aspect. We can imagine things, but others will not see the same thing. That's the other aspect that involves glamour. With imagination, there is this glamour aspect involved. And that is being able to influence the eye of another. It is called witchery of the eye, or what you call charming of another's eye. And there is a scientific explanation for this. In Patanjali's Yoga of Wisdom, we are told that science says that in order to see an object, the reflected rays must fall on your eyes, and then you will be able to see the object. But we are told that not only the reflected rays must fall on your eyes from the object, light from your own eyes must also fallen that object in order for you to see that object. And if you know how to cut off this light proceeding from your eyes, then that object will disappear. And that is how sometimes the fakirs, they are present and suddenly they disappear. They are cutting off this luminousness which is proceeding from the perceiver's eye falling on him. They are able to cut off. And one step further, if you are able to modify this luminousness proceeding from the eye of a man, if you are able to alter it, then he will be, what he sees, its shape, its color is going to be modified. So, he might have nothing in front of him and he will start seeing a tree, pot, an elephant, a snake, depending on whatever modification this particular juggler has really impressed upon his heart. So, these powers are all there. It is possible. But these feats are performed by simple wonder workers in the East. Are they spiritual people? We need to question. Certainly no, they are not really spiritual people. They are earning their livelihood by performing these tricks. They are not spiritual people, and yet they are having these powers which look absolutely astonishing to us. It is possible for these powers to exhibit these powers without being spiritual. This needs to be hammered home, because people in India particularly, they get, as was mentioned by the preliminary announcement, in the preliminary announcement, that people get very much in awe if a Baba is able to produce some ash or kumkum or something. You feel that he is so spiritual, fall at his feet and... Well, this is a minor vidya, minor siddhi. You can perform these things without becoming spiritual. We are not saying that they are always not spiritual. They may be so. They are not to be taken in that light unless you see their teaching. What is it they are teaching you, rather than going and getting charmed by this phenomenon? And to go deeper into this, we find that there are ordinary people, sometimes they get into such a trance condition and then they will be able to tell you about the past, present, future sensitives. They can trance condition. Again in India this is very common. Suddenly people will gather, he has fallen into trance condition, and others will start putting questions to him about some lost object or what should be action in this particular very difficult proposition, what I should do. And this person will be looking into this astral and giving them suggestions, and people will be taking it blindfolded, saying that this is coming because the God so-and-so, Goddess so-and-so has taken possession, and under this high influence, this man is telling you something. Not necessarily so, not always so. The evil entities are also there in that invisible realm. They take possession of people who are sensitives and make things which appear to us very spiritual or astonishing. So we need to be very, very careful when we deal with this sort of phenomenon. And also, what happens is, astral realm, we said that everything is recorded there, but it is not recorded as you find in the books. It's like, you can say, it's like a mirror in which everything is impressed as a mirror image. So if you look at that astral light, then 6 might appear as 9, quarter to 12 will appear as 12:15, and there is a constant wavy motion in that astral light. And you need to be really a perfect clairvoyant to be able to look into this astral light to see what was there in the past, what is likely to happen in the future. Otherwise, you will be making grave mistakes. And so, we are told that if a mother is very anxious about her child, and she imagines that it will be perhaps, you know, the child is returning and the bus will meet with some accident and the child will be killed and so on. So she strongly imagines this thing, that is going to create a picture in the astral light. And then if this person is consulted that what has happened to my child, it has not returned, where is it, can you tell something, he is going to look at this picture. He doesn't know whether it was a thought picture or whether it was an actual happening. And he said that very sorry, but your child is no more, met with an accident. So these are the angels you need to really avail. Unless a person has really perfected those spiritual abilities, those astral senses, there is a possibility of making errors. And so we need not really rush up the people to consult them, rather focus on the present and our present life and on the physical realm. Till such time, these powers will, or rather the senses will unfold and become natural to human beings. Now, we saw this astral realm and astral powers, and Hatha Yogis also possess astonishing powers. Hatha Yoga is a practice again well known in India, where people undertake excessive self-mortification. They will stand on one leg, pierce their cheeks, keep their one hand raised for a long time, control their breathing and whatnot. By this excessive mortification of their body, what happens is that quickly the astral realm begins to get activated and they start getting these powers very quickly. So they will be able to cast spells, they will be able to look at you and tell you about your family, what happened to you in the past. These things become possible for such people. But what happens? These people are not necessarily spiritual. They have, through bodily mortification, awakened this power prematurely. They have not purified their motive, and temptations are there for them as well. And when this temptation is found, then they might fall prey to them and use them for their own selfish purposes. And then it becomes black magic or sorcery. And therefore, we have to again keep away from this Hatha Yogi practices for cultivation of the powers. And mediums, we know that during seance, these sensitive people, they become the channel through which supposedly the dear departed spirits, or spirits of the dear departed, they come, communicate with people. Objects, they move from one place to another unsupported. Suddenly there is a slate writing or writing on the paper, etc. Now, these things happen through the astral body, which is the invisible body of the medium. But unfortunately, medium is totally unaware. He is under the control of the lower elementals and elementaries, the dead people, the depraved people who have taken control of this medium. They are using him as an instrument to perform this phenomenon. And medium is therefore at their mercy. Mediumship is extremely dangerous. It is opposite to that of an adeptian. Adept can perform whatever phenomena he wants. He can exhibit any power he wants, remain fully in control of himself and employing the lower forces at will. Many times also, we are told that Mr. Judge says that mediums are people who are necessarily physiologically as well as in their nervous system deranged. So what happens? The inner man has lost control, which is generally there in non-human being. He has very loose control over the outer man, the physical man. And as I said, what happens is that sometimes, without his control or will, this inner invisible astral man escapes from the physical body. And the physical body then remains behind in a cataleptic condition, in a fit, his real life is escaped. And the cases of possessions typically happen at such times. Whereas in the case of an addict, if he has for some purpose to suddenly go in New York while he is in India, it is possible for him to project his astral, Mayavi Rupa, and go right to New York, perform whatever necessary work has to be performed. And all along, his physical body remains behind in a sort of a condition which will appear to others as though he is meditating. He is, as it were, in ground study. His physical senses are alert. So he appears at two places at the same time, as appearance of Kyan again. This becomes possible for an adult, but not for a medium. Mediumship is extremely, extremely dangerous. And you need to really be warned about these things. And we said that adept can perform these things. Adepts and masters have all the powers within their control. And yet we are told that they will never misuse this power for their own benefit. Jesus, he was to be crucified. And he was also at various times told that if you are a king of Jews, if you want to save yourself, perform miracles. You are saying that you can, you know, destroy the temple in a day and raise it within 3 days. Why don't you save yourself now? You are going to be crucified. He refused to perform miracles. He was an adept. An adept will never use his powers for his own benefit. An adept will never exhibit his powers without any need. He is not going to make a show of it, as sometimes Babas and Sadhus are doing. A real adept will not be exhibiting these powers. And masters, they are having all these powers, but they do not really teach humanity how to acquire these powers, because we have not really reached that stage where we can have these powers and not misuse them. And at one point, Mr. A.P. Sinnett, he said that first of all, we need to win over people who are extremely skeptical that these powers can be acquired by men. So let us win them over by actually producing some astonishing phenomenon. He said that why don't we produce London Times, newspaper of that day, in Shimla, on that very day. Of course, now technology allows you to do that, but in those days, that was not possible. And he said that who produced that day's London Times in Shimla? And he said that with that newspaper in my hand, I will go about converting everyone who is having intellect to show that such powers are possible in men. And he says that it is going to shut the mouth of science once for all, because proof is so irrefutable. And Master said, Master writes, that because such a proof is so irrefutable, that science, its mouth is going to be shut altogether, that it will not perform such a phenomenon. Because science will not be able to explain how such a thing has happened, and masses who are witnessing this particular phenomenon, they will feel science is not able to explain. Suddenly, this is a miracle. Master has performed a miracle. And so, once again, they will be going backward, going back to superstition and blind belief. And so, masters, therefore, you find that they do not perform, they do not exhibit these powers, etc., just for impressing people or just to make you believe that these powers exist. Because there is no end to it. HPV, in fact, in the initial years, performed a number of phenomena for people to really witness that and see that, yes, it is possible for these powers, for men to show these powers. But there was no end. More and more and more phenomena were demanded. And people were rushing after this exhibition of powers, miraculous powers, rather than listening to her philosophy. She performed those powers, so that phenomena, to tell science that go beyond the physical realm, investigate the astral realm. But unfortunately, time was not as it were. Right people were rushing after wrong things. And HPV performed this phenomena for two purposes. As we said, one to tell people, and secondly, also to teach her pupils who were learning from her. And as was mentioned, there are, of course, powers and powers and powers, various types of power. There are powers on the physical plane, there are powers on the psychical plane,
and there are spiritual powers.
Psychic powers are lower, spiritual powers are higher. And while it is possible for men to acquire psychic powers by hatha-yoga, by becoming mediumistic, by getting into trance, and by all round practices, without purifying their motive, without purifying their moral nature, without having the highest interest of humanity at their heart, these powers can be acquired by people. But the spiritual powers cannot be acquired by man unless he has fulfilled this condition. And what are those spiritual powers? These powers are Kriyashakti, the power of thought. Whatever you think, it is possible for thought to bring about perceptible, phenomenal, visible result. It will come right in front of your eyes. Whatever you thought, that is how Brahma is supposed to have manifested this world, by the yogic power. There is also Kundalini Shakti. People speak greatly about Kundalini Shakti, or even chakras and whatnot. It's a very, very potent power. It is what you call it, an astral spiritual power. It can create as well as it can create. It is awakened within, and not much can be said, not much is really thought, not much is known. And there is also Mantrika Shakti, the power of sound, by which you can raise pyramid of chiyot into air. You can raise person who is dying and fill him with energy. And that power of sound by which its energy cannot be conquered by even a million ayahuas, such is the power of mantras. And yet we are told that these are nothing unless the Atma-vidya, the highest spiritual perfection or spiritual knowledge is there in them. And fortunately, these are not available to most of us. They are not taught by adepts as to how to acquire these powers. And still, you may wonder that even the psychic powers, if somebody can look into my eye and read my thought, he can know my secrets. Isn't it dangerous? Am I not exposed to, am I not unprotected? And we are told that if you have clear conscience, if you have pure motive in thought, feeling and action, and if you live to benefit mankind, then you have nothing to fear. Whatever evil intent of another man is there, it is going to be thrown back like a wall. If you throw a ball against the wall, it is not going to penetrate the wall. It will come back to the thrower like that. Your purity will act as a shield. It will go back. Curses like chickens come home to roost. Those curses will go back to those who admission you ill will. So let's not worry about that. Have your motive, have your intention, and rest will be taken care. And much more we can say, go on. But this third object is extremely important for us to really study. Not when we say investigate the unexplained laws or psychic powers in man, it doesn't mean that we are asked to cultivate these powers. No, we have seen that there are a lot of dangers. We need to prepare ourselves before we acquire these powers. Have to have purity, right motive, but have theoretical understanding that these are real things. Don't reject it just because science is rejecting. Have a theoretical understanding and give right knowledge to people who are following things blindly or falling prey to these things blindly. Few minutes for questions,
please. Madam, the beginning of your lecture you said, you give examples of miracles performed by Jesus and Moses, and science rejected them completely as being in the form of hallucinations, right? That's what you said. And then we went on to say that one of the purposes, you gave three purposes for learning theosophy. One of them was to understand science. On one hand, if we are saying science is disregarding certain miracles being performed by seers, at the same time we are saying that one of the purposes of learning theosophy is to understand science. Aren't we wasting time? I don't know, one
no, since the time is short, we have
second one is a short one. Second one is, you mentioned about Kundalini Shakti. Just give me one or two examples of Kundalini.
Straight away, I'm going to confess that nothing much is known about Kundalini Shakti, except that it is a, you know, intuitive power, a buddhi, awakening man, tremendous power. You can create and kill at once with that power. That is all the student knows, nothing more can be said. But now coming to that object of theosophy, we didn't say that we want to study science as known to the world. We are not studying modern science. We are trying to study occult science. Occult science is telling you about these powers, the invisible realm, which the modern science is denying. It is just throwing out of window. They are becoming like beggars. Beggar is someone who is refusing to give up his belief. Science is acting in a beggarly manner. They need to open their eyes and investigate this invisible realm. Thankfully, more and more scientists are now getting into this realm. They have photographed the extra regions, like really photography, and these things are getting investigated, but not really deep enough. So we are asked to study the occult science. And occult science, thankfully, we do not only have at the moment very long to study them, but great sages and seers have studied these down the ages, studied all the departments of nature, physical, psychic, spiritual, and have therefore recorded whatever they have found, mysteries, how the powers are performed, how the powers exist and phenomena are performed. These things are all studied by them. And they have given to us the rational explanation. We gave the example, what happens in hypnotism? What happens in levitation? How does it happen? This is a science, the law of attraction, law of repulsion. Science is talking only about the gravitation. This occult science teaches many, many more laws which the modern science is not teaching. So we are asked to study these things, and fortunately they are there in the teachings of theosophy. Isis Anvay, one must go to it, study number of examples with rational explanation is given. But we are warned not to try to cultivate these powers for the own self.
When a student of theosophy is studying this occult science, how does he ensure that it does not get translated into modern science?
Everything cannot be explained by modern science. There are so many things that we just feel cannot explain. Are you satisfied when you think you are satisfied? You cannot explain.
No, your question is how does theosophy ensure?
A student of theosophy, when he is going into for learning of occult science, how does he ensure
that he doesn't get into modern science?
This is the purpose of
theosophy. Theosophy wants modern science to start exploring these unexplored realms. Sages have already done that. But modern science needs to get into this direction. Simply saying that, you know, there are no powers, there is no levitation, you can't declare us. Now they are investigating telepathy and, you know, mind reading. They are investigating. We want to encourage them. There is a philosophy, there is a science behind it. It is not superstition. These are not superstitious people who are telling you. There is a science. So we are in fact encouraged to tell, draw attention of science, to get into this realm, experiment, and try to understand. But not for the purpose of cultivating these powers, for pursuing it, what happens on the physical plane can happen on the astral plane. But so that people do not fall into bigotry, blind belief, and get enamored by these things, but become pure, so that when you are perfected, these powers will unfold naturally, and we will all become clairvoyants, and be able to communicate even without speaking. Thank you very much. Any other question, we can take it up subsequently.